Welcome to Comics Talk Comedy with your hosts, Jeffrey Bilodeau and Jesse Egan.
All right, it's another week of Comics Talk Comedy. Jesse, you're back. How are you feeling this week?
A little drunk, but it's good to see you, Jeff.
A little drunk again this week?
Listen, you know, it's been I turned a million this week, and I've been celebrating the whole time.
You haven't, like a woman, like birthday month?
A birthday? Yeah. Exactly. Like a woman. Yeah. I am behaving like a woman. Because I'm very hot.
Hot in here?
It's hot in here.
It's a little warm.
It's good to be here, buddy. And I'm sorry I missed last week.
This week,
D&Z drove. So I was able to make it.
So you basically didn't think you could drive again?
I'm drunk right now. It's weird to be on the radio. Can we say that? That this is WSRadio.com, the worldwide leader.
And internet drunks.
Intoxicated talk. No, but you know what? It's going to be a good cast.
Yeah, hopefully. Yeah. You never know. So what did you just, you hung out at Winston's?
I think so. You were so funny last night. Oh my God. My face hurt from watching.
Yeah, that's what you said.
He was killing me. Yeah, you always have so much new material, so I didn't know any of those jokes and they were really funny. I wrote them down. That 4 foot receipt thing was hysterical.
Yeah, that was kind of a riff. I wrote that joke a while ago, but I wasn't able to fit it in. So kind of, it was able to fit in with the take care thing. So
yeah, paraphrasing, but it was like, the 85-year-old bagger, I feel bad when he's asking me, do you need help carrying out your... No, but I need help carrying out this 4 foot receipt. Why is this so long? I bought three things. That was really funny.
Yeah, because I was trying to figure out, you know those things, those rolled up papers that they roll out? And I didn't know what the name was, but it's called like a scroll, some P-word scroll. And I asked my coworker if he knew what it was.
P-word scroll?
Yeah, it starts with a P, like I'm just going to say scroll.
P-man. It's a P-man scroll.
Because I'll never remember the first word.
Possible?
But then he was like, well, are you doing jokes about the mid-century? I go, no, I just have this joke about the long receipts. And he was like, yeah, I bought two washers at Home Depot, and the receipt was like three feet long.
It's really long.
I think it's pretty relatable.
It's like they put an ad on it or something, right? Is that what's going on?
They give you coupons. They give ads that you have to call in for, like, to win possibly money. Like, nobody ever does that.
Right.
You know, so it's
so
just a
like,
waste.
Thank you for this tree that you just killed.
Yeah, I know. It's like you could talk about, you know, how about I'll save 10 cents on every, you know, transaction if I don't have to have that receipt.
Right. Turn right around and recycle that receipt to get some money back.
Yeah, you don't need it. But I went up to LA a couple weeks ago and they charged for bags up there.
They charged for grocery bags?
Yeah.
Yeah. What did they charge you?
Like 10 cents.
10 cents?
But it was weird. Like I got like.
Per bag?
Yeah.
And so you're
I got
put it all in one bag and you just drag it out of there?
I was up there with Renee Lancaster, former comedian.
Los Angeles.
Yeah.
Driver of the shores, right?
Yes. But I got like 12 things and the woman's like, do you want a bag? And I was like, of course I want a bag.
Yeah, I want a bag.
And he's like, well, you know, it's 10 cents. I go, what? This is crazy. So I carried
so
all 12
carried
of them.
So you carried it all out with your hands.
I took my shirt off.
So I learned how to juggle.
Yeah. Took my shirt off and put them all in the shirt. And that's away
so
we went.
So I walked out of there like a hobo with my items in a shirt over a stick in my back. So that's just how they do. Why is that not implemented here, you think? That it's
they're probably going to start charge.
Yeah,
you know,
isn't it like they want you to bring your own bag, right?
Yeah, it's a good idea.
Just
I don't
put
mind
all
it.
My goods into this duffel that I bring.
Everyone else had their own bags.
Yeah.
So, but it was just weird. Plus, it was a paper bag, which I haven't got a paper bag in years.
That's even you can't do shit with a paper bag, right? It just rips and you got a big mess.
So I was actually thinking, because it's been so long since I've seen a paper bag. Like when you were a kid, you covered your books with paper bag, right? Is that how you did it?
Did you? You covered your books with paper bags? Dean's?
I'm a first-time caller. Long-time listener. I'll hang up and listen.
Dean's, weigh in on this paper bag thing.
Well, actually, yes, I did wrap my textbooks in paper bags as well. Did you do such things? Yeah, I did.
I don't remember.
Yeah, we were poor people. Yes.
Why'd you wrap them in paper bags?
Did you know I grew up in the Great Depression? Did you know? Yes.
So you didn't damage them or whatever?
Did you wear an onion on your belt?
I wore an onion on my belt. It was a style at the time.
She's style at the times. In my day.
I'm the old one here, right?
We're all old.
I'm old.
We're all old, but I don't remember wrapping my books in paper.
Yeah.
Why did you have to do that?
Yeah.
So you didn't damage them.
Yeah, you didn't want to damage your textbooks.
I wanted to damage my
textbooks. I have to see a poll. So if those who listen, please let us know if you covered
your
books in paper bags.
Did you wrap your books in paper bags?
Well, because they gave you those stupid book covers, but those book covers were always kind of gay, if you would.
Yeah. So I would like to know if maybe just the two of us.
A lot of homophobia wrapped up in my textbooks.
Trapper Keeper?
The Trapper Keeper.
I tried that reference to 65-year-old people the other day, and that didn't work.
Joke.
Yeah, there you go.
It wasn't on Thursday.
What was the last time I balanced my
portfolio?
Portfolio.
It was called
the Trapper Keeper.
The Trapper Keeper.
Let's just go over the week.
Yeah, okay.
I actually did some comedy.
You did a lot of comedy.
I was thinking to myself, this is probably the most motivated I've been in comedy probably since I started.
I think it shows because, boy, were you sharp. I mean, we were talking about it on the ride up here. Everybody was bombing last night.
And
no connection with the audience. Fucking four people or whatever.
Yeah,
excuse my language.
Three.
We were back to our old school ways of being dead.
Yes.
We had 6 weeks of being busy, then it was dead. But you were the only comic I saw really connecting and doing great.
Ironing the testicles. Ironing the testicles.
That was
good stuff, too.
Ironing the testicles.
I got my testicles all ironed out for you.
Complaining because it feels like a rooster's neck.
Slapping your ass.
Who complains about wrinkly testicles? Anyway, that was super funny. And we kind of were thinking about it, like, how do you analyze, like, why did that work and nobody else was really connecting?
Energy.
I actually was having fun because, like I said, I've been writing all this stuff.
It was you were the only one that wanted to do it.
Yeah.
I want to tell these things. Everybody else was we don't really want to be up here.
Yeah.
This is going to be so bad. And that showed, right?
And mostly,
Yeah, I think that was a big, the big difference was like, I'm looking forward to telling these jokes. Yeah. I wanted to say them and here we go. And for some reason, that was that energy that was different.
Yeah, it worked on, because I did, well, I guess we'll go over it. Monday, I tried to do Heart Lounge, which is a new open mic on Mondays at 7. But for some reason, I thought at first it was at 8, but by the time I realized it was at 7, I couldn't make it till 8.
Where is that?
Downtown, sketchy area. Have you been there yet?
No, I haven't been down there.
Is this Wolf's new thing, or didn't she have a tilted kilt?
It's Cameron Frost.
Okay.
So he's got crazy hair.
It's like Cameron Dyson, but...
More hair.
More hair. Okay. More hair.
I get there at 8, and my buddy is walking away from the show, Jerry Marsh, and he looks at me, he goes, "What are you doing here?"
Your pal Marsh.
What are you doing? He's gonna shank you.
I go,
greatest relationship
I was gonna try to go up. He goes, "It's over, idiot."
Zing.
It's so funny.
He's calling your name.
Marsh is not, he's unable to use sarcasm.
Yeah.
But then, like, when Jeff likes any of his negative statuses, Marsh takes it to heart.
No,
it's
so hard.
It's so
he
funny.
Actually posts about it now.
Yeah, Jeff Bilodeau likes this.
And I won't like that.
And then that'll make him more upset. Yeah.
This is such a bad psychological experiment, Facebook, sometimes.
I know. It's so
I treat him, I don't bully him. It's not like do that to everyone
else. Any negative post, you're like.
I just think it's funny.
Subway was closed today. Couldn't get my $5 like. Like, damn you, Jeff Bilodeau.
Does he eat a lot of Subway?
Every Friday.
Tiny Jared place.
Yeah.
So the Heart Lounge was.
I missed out on that.
You didn't get that.
And then I did the open mic at the Madhouse, which they do after the show. And I went up like fourth, and it was good. It was like a black crowd.
Okay.
Mostly everyone funneled up, but there was like black people. They probably got there late at the first show, so they wanted more show.
Was that a racist thing you threw in there? No. They probably got there late. So
they
were black and they were late.
Never.
Never. Never.
So I just kind of ripped with them.
So that was a good audience though at the end.
Yeah,
they
were good. I don't know how I left after that because I tried to do Michelle Wolf's Tilted Kilt. And I thought I was going to be there early because she had a show before. And then the open mic was at like 10.
Right.
So I got there at like 9:30, but I guess the show started at 9:30. So it would have been 10:30, and I was like 10th on the list, so I wasn't going to wait till 11:30 to go up. But
right. And that was on a Monday night.
There was a good little crowd when I got there, but I heard when the open mic, it was mostly just comics. So
I wonder what it would be like performing for just executives that are there for boobs.
Yeah, boobs. I want to see boobs at a place.
Every male comic that goes up, they're like, you don't have boobs.
I'm so glad that they've advanced that marketing concept. I mean, I'm so glad that they've gone from from Hooters yeah. to now we have a tilted kilt,
it's
so we can
tilted.
Exploit the ladies with the, you got the boobies and the nice legs.
What does that mean exactly? Is that mean oh the kilt you're tilted
ooh, you're
over?
Tilted. Yes, you have a skirt on.
So I'm looking up your shirt.
Yeah, looking. It's more so it's a perv. You want
to
go in?
Did you see the horrible bosses? Not undercover boss when they went to Hooters.
Oh no.
Or bikinis or was it bikinis?
These wings aren't good after all.
No, he had a bean eating contest where the girls had to put their hands behind their back and eat beans, and then whoever got one got to go home early.
Why beans? Why were they eating beans?
But yeah, so the guy was fired shortly after. Okay. We're almost in out of this first segment.
What about your marathon session? Didn't you do like five or four shows?
Last Wednesday I did four.
Did you go over that on the last cast?
Yeah.
Okay, so you did four in one night. I know I don't want to rehash, but I mean, that's pretty good. I think four is probably the most mics I've ever done in one night.
That was the second time I did it. I did all four clubs one Sunday a few years back.
Uh-huh.
And then this week, that time I did, ACC, Madhouse, Store, and then The Wood.
Was that exciting to be like, I'm gonna break my own record sort of thing?
Or? I tried. I tried to do The Palace.
Did you focus on each one, like I gotta do well on each one, or was
it
like more like I'm thinking about the next one?
No, I did well on all of them except Madhouse I did blah. Mm-hmm. It wasn't great, but either way. But anyways, before we get out of this, I want to quickly wrap up the week. Tuesday, I worked at the store, saw some Full Throttle Economy, didn't get up. It was all right. The headliner just pandered to the crowd his whole 45 minutes.
That was a bringer thing.
Yeah, it was a bringer thing.
Promoted thing.
Yeah. And then Wednesday, what did I do? I did the store, and that was good. Wednesday was good. Thursday, the store was not good.
Well, we were both there. What was it?
Yeah, Thursday was they were all like 65.
Yeah, so they were old.
I had fun bombing anyways.
They were old.
Older than me.
We're going to get into Andrew Dean's. That sounded weird. Coming back. You're listening to WSRadio.com. World Wide Radio.
We're getting all up in Dean.
Welcome to Comics Talk Comedy with your hosts, Jeffrey Bilodeau and Jesse Egan.
All right, we are back. Second segment.
Yes.
Sweet.
Sorry. What's going on my mic here? So, in the break there, we were talking about the fact that once you've written some new stuff, it re-energizes you for performing again. Like, we get tired of doing our act all the time.
Right.
Absolutely.
But that was part of why it went well for you last night at Winston's and not for other people, was because you had written some new things that you were excited about telling, which I think is worth bringing up on the air, that we all get tired of our jokes. You could either say, well, I'm going to accept that this is my material and just deliver it, or you know, tag it up differently.
Tag it up differently. You always want to change, you know, morph. I've always seen how, like, you know, I'll tell a certain joke, like, for example, that idiotic hot yoga joke where I'm talking about the vagina and whatnot.
Right.
The cooked vagina.
Yeah, the cooked vagina, yes. I've morphed it into talking about the steaming vaginas because that just made it less, it felt like Gwyneth Paltrow. I could throw Gwyneth Paltrow under the bus for what I'm talking about.
Right.
Instead of, like, being the guy that's going, like cooked vaginas, you know, like that. So I felt that I needed to morph that joke into something that was less like me being a weirdo. It's still a weird joke.
Yeah.
I'm still a weirdo.
People
right.
are
that.
More on board with throwing Gwyneth Paltrow.
Everybody goes, that Gwyneth Paltrow is crazy with her steaming her vagina and whatnot. And then I can go, you could hook up a wood chip box and have a smoky vagina.
Who's the guy that says, bam?
Emeril Lagasse.
It sounds like any moment Emeril Lagasse is going to show up and go, bam, in the middle of the yoga class.
Yeah.
Totally.
It's tough to concentrate.
So weird.
If you
so
steam hot. It badly like Gordon Ramsay shows, they're like, this is awful.
That's actually how Guy Fieri gets his hair that way.
Yeah,
he just shows
steams.
Up.
Woo! There's a lot of steam coming off this vagina. That is a funky vagina.
Steamed clams.
Fantastic.
Yeah. In his hair. Yeah.
That was the worst Facebook joke, too, was that was what would pop down when you'd click on the Gwyneth Paltrow wants to steam her clam. It's like, steamed clams? How to steam clams? You're like, oh, that's not funny.
That's not the recipe
that's
I
hilarious.
Was looking for.
No, I don't want that.
So, talking about, like, different comedians who always seem to be having, like, watching Zoltan, he always seems like he's having fun. But every time I see him, he has something new he's doing.
Yeah. And, you know, a lot of his stuff, too, I think is like, he accepts that some of it's half-baked, like on the ride up to the venue, we're talking, and he's like, gonna use that. You know what I mean? So then you get on stage and like incorporate that in there.
Right.
But the enthusiasm for the subject is more important than necessarily like that you've worked out the exact punchline or, the, you know?
Right.
So that's why it works.
Yeah.
So he goes up there and he's like talking about something we just did or just talked about drive, you know, and that's brave. Like, I need to get to that point more. I usually open that way, as you do. Like, we open with ad-lib stuff.
Yeah.
Like, I always, I don't really have an opener. It's always like, let's just go off of the moment or this unique time in the, which, you know, we don't give away what your secrets are, but that's, I don't know if that's a weapon or just a failing. That
well, you
I
have to think about
I don't have
an
opener.
The first time you tell a joke and it hits, that's the best feeling. That joke will never feel that good again.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Right.
So that's why the excitement first, of telling the joke the first time and it gets that response, that's the most it's probably ever going to feel it gets, you know?
And it's funny because when you go up, even with a half-baked idea, if you're really excited about it, sometimes that energy is all you really need to make it work because the people are, like, feeling that energy and they're enthusiastic about it because you are.
Right.
So it doesn't have to be hilarious. It's more like, oh, I'm riding with you on this journey. Let's see where it goes, you know?
Yeah, right.
But in your case, I mean, you have shorter jokes and they all have punchlines that are worked out. So I think it was like a combination of there's good material and I'm excited to tell it because it's new. So for me, like, I want to go out and hit mics and stuff, but I need to write some new shit just to do that.
Yeah.
Or maybe just if it's a 3-minute one, you just go up with an idea.
Well, for example, I mean, I did the Comedy Store on Thursday. Like I said, I went up first. They were old. Whatever. It didn't go well. But I had planned. I went to Shooters after, and Shooters was mostly just comics.
Uh-huh.
But I did well, you know. And it's
now, where is Shooters again?
Down in Spring Valley.
Spring Valley.
Yeah, lovely Spring Valley.
So this
Valley.
Is the third time I've done it. The first time I did it, it was good. Last time, not so good. This time, it was good, you know. And it's just like and there's no stage. It's just a bar, you know.
Is that a bowling? Is
no.
That a, no.
Pool.
Pool, okay.
Pool, but nobody's playing pool.
Yeah.
I mean, mostly
sometimes
it's,
there.
It's pretty it's cool, you know. It's a different, you know. I probably did comedy, other than Booble, it's like 4 years longer than the next person there. So
oh,
it's
no
like,
kidding.
Well, Barbara and Veronica were there too, so it's just fun kind of hanging out.
They're old. Sorry.
Yeah.
No, I'm just kidding. I'm totally getting everybody in trouble.
Shout out to Babs. Happy Babs Day.
I'm going
to
get killed now. That's okay.
Yeah, but it's just fun to hang out and kind of like Winston's, you know. You hang out and then you do your set and then you go hang out some more, you know. So
the hang is everything.
Yeah, and I don't really do that much. But I'm trying to rededicate myself and trying to not.
It shows. I mean, you know, you don't normally like seem to be like, I'm going to hit every mic. I'm going to get out every night.
No.
But now, like, I see you're on fire with that.
Well, like,
I haven't done fucking anything stand up wise lately because I've been working on this YouTube show.
Right.
You know?
No, but, like, I track every show I do, and if I get paid or whatever, I've been doing that since 2012. And I counted it up today just to see where I was at.
For tax purposes?
No, for my own purposes.
Jeff right now is wearing a little green visor, and he's got he's typing into a machine.
Yeah.
He's like, $0 plus $0.
You sound like that H&R Block guy to me. Get your billions back, America.
Get your billions back.
You always sound like that guy to me. I don't know if it's an asshole for saying that.
Gordon always says I sound like I'm the funniest Jewish woman in the
That is funny.
That's nice.
So.
But that's
funny. Yeah, he gave me a compliment on Wednesday. He put me, he was the
Downs?
Show. Yeah. Which is funny. He's been nicer to me lately because I told you, like, the first time I hosted at Winston's, he told me I was the worst fucking host he'd ever seen.
And
then,
Dennis is great.
The other day at the store, I did really well. Everything was clicking.
Uh-huh.
And
what did he say?
It was his show, so he put me in.
You didn't suck, kid.
No, he was like, I'm happy I put you before me.
Oh, that's cool.
So I thought that was a nice thing for him.
I think he's a great comedian, by the way.
Yeah, he's funny. He's very good off the cuff, too.
Yeah, he really is. I think he's just one of those people that's naturally funny. So, you know, he taps into that. And if the material's stiff or whatever, he goes off script. And that off script stuff that he does is amazing.
Yeah.
That's why, like, you could watch him for 10 years doing the same act and the same material.
Yeah.
And I still watch him every time because it's like the stuff he does in between those jokes that you've heard is amazing, like, every time, you know?
Yeah, it's hard not to be stale, obviously, when you're doing it so long. I mean, I've been doing this crap.
But, I mean, that's so part of the magic of it, right? Is, like, even if it's the same jokes, you have other stuff around it that makes it unique.
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
You've always got other stuff around that. I mean, your life is going to take, you know, turns, and you're going to run into crap, and you're going to think of new stuff. I mean, for God's sake, life is, I'm old. I keep saying it, but
like the woman in Requiem for a Dream.
I know.
I'm old.
I'm old.
Jeff's favorite film, by the way.
Yeah, I watched it the other night, actually.
Yeah, did you watch it again? Yeah. Did it depress you when you watched it?
No, because I'm not that bad.
Those people could get worse. Yeah. You could be like trouble.
But I wanted to say, like, I keep track of how many shows I did. And
yeah.
Like, 2012, I did 283 shows.
Wow.
And last year, it was like 170-something. So, like, in 2 years, it really dropped off a lot. You know, so
So you're gonna get back up then.
Yeah, because
get
normally
your weight up, son.
It used to be like
bars
that I would like in that 2012. It was like basically 27 to 30 mics a week.
Yeah,
wow.
And now like the last like December and January, it was around like 8.
Okay, yeah. Let me ask you this though. Sometimes, well, let's say you do a set where you're featuring and you're doing a half an hour. Shouldn't that count for like 10 of those 3 minute open mic sets?
Exactly.
You know, like get a few of those and you know it's almost like building up faster.
Yeah, I agree. Right? I mean, if I could get that,
you can. I think. I don't see why not.
Yeah, I won't say the comic's name, but there's a club that he books the talent. Mm-hmm. And I asked him if I could do a weekend.
And those wouldn't be 30 minutes anyway, so it's not like, you know, that's probably a feature spot where it's really only about 15 minutes.
I'll tell you on the break which one it
is. I know which one it is.
No, you don't.
Oh, I don't really?
No, okay.
Okay. Yeah.
Where there's usually a 15-minute comedian, a 30-minute comedian, and then a 45-minute comedian.
Oh, okay.
So. And I asked him to do more time, if I could do a weekend, you know. He's like, it's not paid. I was like, yeah, I just want to do some time. And he's like, well, the most I could give you would be 15.
Mm-hmm.
And I was a little surprised with some people that I've seen him do 30. So I was like,
there's other politics involved maybe with that?
Probably.
Well, yeah, for sure.
So that's always going to be the case. But take the 15, you know, make the most out of the 15. That's still five 3 minute sets, you know, under your belt right there. But getting those longer sets too, I think is good because you learn the rhythm of that.
Yeah,
you know?
That's a way different rhythm.
It is. Unlike you've been doing lately with openers and closers, it's like, you know, you have to structure it a little differently.
Yeah.
Because
even
if it's going badly, you still come back to, here's my closer.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Package
it all in. With
add tangents to jokes, you know, that kind of thing. Add punches.
Take
a little more time with jokes if you feel like it. You know, kind of segue things a little better. That's kind of what you want to do with the longer
set. People are going to be shitty as far as bookers go because I think they're always like want to help their friends. Buddies or whatever.
Yeah.
And people that aren't necessarily the best.
I took the longest time with responding because Brandon Young had that post about what do you think's holding you from getting booked more.
Okay.
Yeah, right.
And
I pretty much ended the thread with saying my friends don't book shows.
That was very sad.
But is it not true?
It's true. It's very true.
Yeah, look at the shows.
Well, no, but you didn't say that. You were like, I don't have any friends.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah.
Like, your friends book shows, I don't have any friends.
I did that to make it somewhat funny.
It's sad. But you're right. It's like you get gigs through.
Yeah,
you know.
If you look at the different shows throughout town, other than Winston's, I will say that I'm looked at as this pariah, mean person. I book on everyone.
Right.
Yeah. There's very few people in town that I've not put as a feature spot.
Oh, yeah.
I wouldn't say that they're my friends,
But everybody's gone up at Winston's. They have.
Yeah, everyone's welcome. Yes. And pretty much people show up and I put them all up. I figure out how to get everybody up every week.
Right.
And if you look at different, like, independently produced shows, it's usually the same people rotated in week in and week out.
Yeah.
There's groups. And I think that's a big issue with the scene is that there's not.
Not enough variety on what's going on?
You're always seeing the same people in the same lineups.
That's true.
Very.
I think a lot of times it's because people, I mean, at least for me, I'm guilty of it. I want to go for the hang, so it's like you gravitate to the same
people.
We'll
be back in 3 minutes. Listen, bye-bye.
Welcome to Comics Talk Comedy with your hosts, Jeffrey Bilodeau and Jesse Egan.
All right, we are back. Third segment. So I guess we should get into it.
Really introduced our guest properly.
Our guest for the week is Andrew Dean.
Hey, how you doing, everybody? Andrew Dean.
Thank you. Third segment, and we're just introducing
him. That's right.
It's been a good different little chat this week.
Yeah, for sure.
Deansy, I started comedy with Deansy, so it's like we've been buddies for so long.
Yeah.
I started comedy in Austin in 1998. Austin, Texas.
So
I'm 17 years
17
in.
17 years.
That's too much.
Consistently? Or the times where you took any time off?
I didn't take any real time off other than moving place to place, you know? You know, during when we fell out of Ocean Beach for a little bit, I wasn't doing much comedy, but that's when Winston started, because I had to start coming back from Bay Park to get here, and it was really hard for me to get here. And y'all were
have
doing
you ever
that.
Had a car since you've been out here?
No, I did have a car up until, because I was working at the comedy store in La Jolla then.
Okay.
Yeah, and I had a car, and I wrecked it. I totaled it, and so that was the end of
that. Did you have insurance or no?
No, no insurance on that. Okay. I mean, well, the insurance, the car was done. It was just, yeah. Just let that go, basically. That car
was it a drunken wreck?
No, it was actually, I was just heading out to the comedy store.
That's a sacrifice to the comedy gods.
I just get this, like, lack of attention, especially the five. When you're going to the five out of OB, there's that one lull.
He drove today, too, which is making me nervous.
No, I'm fine.
How many times you drove with Dave Wright and you're safe? I think you'll be fine.
I'm okay. I'm kind of a
he doesn't talk like a psychopath, thank goodness.
Well, for sure.
Distracted but not psychopathic.
Yeah, I get distracted,
Dave's
but not
too
as much
involved. He's too involved. He's like way into what everyone else is
doing.
Does
he curse at everybody in one?
Yes. They're all faggots.
Oh my goodness, faggots.
He's doing his
everywhere.
material in the comedy.
He's like, how long you been together? Get out of my lane.
Yeah. Faggots and buttholes. But yeah, this
you'll love it when he hangs up on you, that's the thing.
Yeah, he's a fun guy. Yeah. I like the Dave. Little guy. He's next week, actually.
How was the scene in Austin when you...
There was a lot of great comics that came out of that. Tons of great comics. One of the guys that I was actually telling you guys about was he runs the Velveeta now in Austin, the Velveeta Room. It's a really great place.
Is that
place.
Also live music, or was that...
No, that's just a straight comedy. Okay, yeah, that place is right next to Esther's Follies in Austin, and Esther's Follies was like a improv troupe.
Okay.
And
so Velveeta was very difficult, wasn't it?
New York Times rated it the number one, the worst open mic in the toughest open mic in all of America.
Why is that?
Basically. It's just... But all you would get... You'd get up on stage, and there was a lineup of comics back there. Charlie Shannon, T-Shawn Shannon, writer for Saturday Night Live, Howard Kramer's in Hollywood now, and I'm name dropping. I'm so sorry.
That's okay.
But seriously, all these people were back there heckling your ass, like telling you, this guy Beecher, you'd get off stage and you go, you're a sucko. You suck. You suck at it. Quit, buddy. Quit. Just quit. And you just sit there and heckle you. And so you just had to put up with that. And I love those people.
You should start doing that at Winston.
Oh, yeah. You suck. You're a suckle. I mean, Beecher was the best. But, yeah, seriously, there was a lineup of comics that would sit back there and give people shit.
That's brutal.
Was there any audience?
Normally not. And a lot of the audience would come filtering out of the improv troupe thing, because Esther's Follies would crank it out. They were big and huge, and a lot of the audience would come filtering in, and someone would be, you know, they'd stop in for a second, and then the open micers would be getting heckled, and so they'd be like, leave. These people suck.
They'd be in there just long enough to see you get insulted.
Yeah, you'd get insulted by one of the comics. Yeah, one of the
Hollywood Comedy Store looked easy.
Yeah, right.
It was fun. It was a lot of fun. That sounds like the same model of the OR. I came in on the late ends of it, actually. I mean, from what I understand, before I even got there, it was even worse. I mean, seriously, people like Johnny Hardwick, if you know who Johnny Hardwick is, on King of the Hill.
Yeah, that sounds familiar.
He came through that, and Mike Judge ended up coming into the open mic at the Velveeta because he was actually casting for Idiocracy, if I'm not mistaken, because he got this kid Kevin Klee to be the he's the ouch my balls guy in Idiocracy. Kevin Klee was the worst open mic comic there. Rolling in and getting Jerry Marsh to be on something. I'm not kidding you. Kevin Klee was the worst. He was awful, but he was a nice kid.
Hardworking though.
He just kept going out. He would do.
There's a lot worse. Klee than would, Marsh, isn't
yeah,
there?
Yeah, yeah. Klee, and Marsh is great. Marsh is awesome. I'm just saying it was that kind of thing that Klee was made a star by, kind of like a star by Judge.
Someone should make
a There was star a lot of people, well. I think, that quit doing comedy because of that specific reason. They were like, oh, my God, I'm never going to make it if that guy made it. You know, it's that kind of thing.
Yeah.
You know, and he didn't really make it. He was just the ouch my balls guy in a movie. But but still, it's kind of interesting to me that psychology level of that, you know, when somebody really gets something big like that and there's a lot of jealousy and anger and, you know, pissed off things, and, you know, people just get pissed. And
it's like that line in Comedian with Orny Adams, like, you're not funny until if people say you're funny, that means you're not funny.
Yeah.
You know you're funny when no one tells you're funny.
Yeah. It's kind of true.
It's funny.
But
holy shit.
Yeah.
So you went up, you just kept going up, or did
I've just kept going up this entire time. I've, You know, we did a road trip to Wilmington, North Carolina, Stephen and me and Mac Lindsay, mm-hmm. when that was a good trip.
And they were all friends from Austin?
We were all friends.
You guys started together there?
Mac Lindsay too, yeah. Me and Stephen, for sure. Stephen's kind of like a comedy mentor in general, I think. I mean, he's mentored so many people.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
When I first started, it was you guys doing it before me, and he was not shy about sort of guiding people. I mean, he took Wendorf under his wing quite a bit.
For sure.
But then Wendorf quit.
Wendorf moved to Chicago.
Does Steven still do comedy?
He does every so often.
He's back in, he's in Houston, right?
Houston. He's going to school, so.
What brought you to San Diego?
The Comedy Store La Jolla, basically. Jen Adams was working there. Jen Adams was working at the Comedy Store La Jolla. She's now
Liquid Laughs, right?
Yeah, she's up in Boise. Yeah, she's cool.
Who's the other one?
Matt Black.
Matt Black is the other manager. They both came from the store.
They were in the store. Yeah, Blag was, he's hilarious. He's a good guy.
Yeah,
Bragg, right?
I'm saying Blag. Excuse me. Matt Blagg's different. He's the guy here. He's a V-Town crusher, Blag.
So you knew her so that she brought you over to give you a job?
Well, she just was like, hey, you guys should come out because there's good comedy going on in La Jolla. And yeah, eventually I got the job there. Steven was working there first for the longest time. But then, yeah, I bar back there.
How was the scene around the Comedy Store back then?
It was cool. You know, it was pretty standard people. You know, Barry Diamond, loved him.
Did he work there or just came through?
No, he came through all the time on the weekends.
What was your crew like? Who was
Joey Klecker, me, Stephen Kendrick, and then
Travis.
Travis was kind of
on
that
whole crew. Like, came over and did OBC. You guys started Winston's comedy.
Yeah,
and did you all get fired?
Yeah, pretty much. That was all kind of like a clean house thing.
They just fired that whole crew, and that crew became Winston's.
Yeah, why did you all get fired?
Basically, because it was a free for all of silliness and drinking on the job, pretty much.
Was it big crowds back then?
Yeah, pretty big crowds. Yeah, we had tons of crowds.
You guys were the only show in town, right?
Yeah, I mean, pretty much. It was the only show in town then. Not the only, but very much. The weekend was the only show in town. I got to tell Eddie Griffin to take a bus. I felt good about that. I told Eddie Griffin on the phone to take a bus because he was at the Comedy Condo. He's like, how am I going to get there?
He wanted you to pick him up or something?
Yeah, he wanted somebody to pick him up.
And you said, take a bus.
And he took the bus?
No, he didn't take the bus. He got a ride.
He got a cab or something?
He got a limo or something, but he was pissed.
But he did the Comedy Store? You must have.
Griffin.
Did you have people before they were big over there? Do you remember seeing anybody?
I'm trying to think of who would come through. I remember there's a lot of great old comics like, you know, Argus and, the like, and the standards that would come through every weekend. Mm-hmm. Rusty Dooley and whatnot.
They would come through like every weekend?
Yeah. Not every weekend, but a lot. There's a lot of people that I remember I'm trying to think of who was, you know, Jonathan Gotsick was hilarious. He was funny. He came through, but I don't think he's doing anything anymore.
He was working back then?
Yeah,
Lou
was introducing everybody. It was Wednesday, Thursday,
Were you
Sunday,
there? He got married to Vicky Barbalack on stage
there.
Or something?
I didn't go to the wedding, I don't think. Or if I did, I drank a lot through it. I don't remember. But I went to Dan Jackson's wedding.
There. Okay, I remember Dan.
Doesn't do comedy anymore, huh?
No, I think he stopped doing comedy.
Who else was from that era that is still doing it? Did you have Dangerous Dick?
Dangerous Dick around then. Gene DeBruler, but he's up in Portland now.
DeBruler. What about, not that fan.
Bobby Lee.
Bobby Lee
was in. He came through. Yeah, he was kind of funny and angry towards
Kendrick told me he spit on
Spit. Yeah, he spit on Steven. Yeah, that
he
happened.
He did.
Yeah. Why is that?
He's just he would come in and be angry with everybody.
I heard weird stories about Bobby Lee.
He came to the store a couple months ago. And he said that was the first time in like 7 years.
Yeah, he had
He's really funny. I mean,
it's funny.
He's really, really funny.
He was he was mad that Ryan didn't put him on it was an all woman show, and Bobby popped in, and Ryan didn't put him up. He didn't go back because of that.
Is that right?
Yeah, he didn't go back for 7 years.
Oh, that's mean.
Oh, that's.
I walked Pauly Shore's dog. That was fun. Butters.
Butters
back in the day.
No way.
That's crazy.
Yeah, that was great.
So, how were the times? What do you remember about the beginning of OBC?
OBC was hilariously like. just I remember it being dead as dead and good and dead and good sometimes, and then when it was good, you know, it was great, and then we'd do that whole thing at the end where we'd have a like a comedy joke off in a way. We'd just pass the mic, and that was really awful, and we'd get a trophy for
being, had some little fake trophies.
The funniest
How
person
How many of those
the night.
Do you have any of those?
I think
spelling bee trophies. I got all these little novelty trophies.
Yeah, I got the spelling bee and with horse's trivia. Head. Horse's ass, actually. Horse's ass.
You know what? It was like taking ideas from the audience.
Yeah,
and
that's
then
right.
We'd riff on it, and I would host that. But then after a while, the joke ideas were like asparagus or whatever.
Yeah,
like,
just
this sucks. So I started writing jokes and putting them in the hat.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's why I started comedy, because I would watch the other comics butcher my ideas.
Yeah.
I want to try and do this true. Myself. And I mean, if they can be sucky, I'll suck too, you know.
When you say good crowds, what are we talking for people?
Oh, like four people.
30. Yeah, we're talking.
Four or five
we get 20 to 30 some weeks. We'd have some decent crowds. I mean.
Because you booked more L.A. It was more L.A.
Yeah, there were more L.A.
For a while we did. I mean, it started with we didn't book shit. It was just our crew, pretty much. And then we started booking some Hollywood people like Joey Coco Diaz Tom Rhodes.
Yeah, and Rhodes.
Well, who we had? Michelle Balloon.
And Hester, Richards, Tom Hester. Jeff Richards came through
once. Jeff Richards and a bunch of those people. And who's the best? We had Carl LeBeau.
Stanhope and Carl LeBeau. Doug Stanhope and Carl LeBeau.
That was pretty awesome.
That must have sold
Adam
out.
Devine from Workaholics back then. He was
young, too.
Really young. One of the funniest comics I'd seen live.
Yeah, he was awesome.
He was amazing.
But how many people do you think were there for that?
That was a good crowd, actually. I remember that was.
All right, we got to take a break. You're listening to WS Radio Time, the world on the internet. Talk.
Welcome to Comics Talk Comedy with your hosts, Jeffrey Bilodeau and Jesse Egan.
All right, we are back. Fourth segment already.
That first music sounds like it's a Teddy Jam.
You like that?
That's like you remember the Teddy Jam?
Teddy Jam.
From the late 80s.
Stop.
Talk to me. It sounds a lot like Belle Biv DeVoe, if you will.
Oh, yeah.
It's your anniversary. Talk to me. So going back, so you said you've been doing it, 17 years now?
17 years,
Do you ever get bitter?
Yeah, oh yeah, all the fucking time. I've been bitter my entire life.
Not get bitter?
I'm always bitter in a way, just a little bitter.
Was it always like that? Were you enjoying comedy when you first started and
no.
then as the years progressed?
Yeah, I was enjoying it. I got to tell you the one thing that I noticed about me that is different now than it was then. It was my consistent level of need to shit talk every other comic. You know, there's like this hatred that you feel towards every other comic, and especially if you have somebody around you that wants to talk shit with you, that fuels the fire. Me and Steven and everybody else, I mean, we sit there and, you know, shit talk all these people, and it's like you're putting all this energy into shit talking, and you're not putting enough energy into actually your stupid act, you know, your own act, and you're thinking about actually being funny on stage. You're just worried about what everybody else is saying, and it's really I felt like that was just one of the biggest things I could take away from this long time of doing comedy and going nowhere with it is, you know.
How did you break out of that pattern, though? You're more happy with yourself, too, lately. You noticed a change. You lost a bunch of weight. You've been sort of happier on stage. That was a previous version, I think, of OBC 2 was sort of hater aid.
We
were you're fired from the store, that had a lot to do with
it? Yeah, that had a lot to do with it. But even when I was working at the store, I was being a douchebag.
Okay.
I mean, it was the same thing. And it's like, I know what it was, and I'm pretty sure there's a lot of people that might even actually like have some type of hatefulness towards me because of it, but I doubt it. I don't think I've burned any current bridges, but I was a real douche especially at the store.
You remember telling me to never do crowd work again?
I did. I think I did. I probably did. I've been a huge douche. I probably did. Never do crowd work ever again. I should know things. I don't know things.
So I remember those things.
That's I know. I've been a douche. I've been a huge douche.
But I think you've been getting more positive.
Yeah. I'm trying to be less like angry about.
Do you think
anything.
It has to do with you don't have anyone to be angry with?
Yeah, besides myself,
But you also had that model of coming up under those Howards and those guys that train you to call people suckos.
Yeah, suckos. So it's kind of like, I mean, that's what I remember seeing, but I mean, and I understand the roast. The roast of people is a necessary thing that comedy should continue, even though we're now roasting Justin Bieber, for Christ's sake. That's just really just pounding it into the ground there, but... Seriously, I think keeping that whole roast situation is okay. It's just don't take too much, like, hatefulness towards it. That was, I think, my problem with it is, like, it wasn't just that I thought I didn't like somebody's act. I was really, like, trying to take it personal towards them, you know, when I was doing that. So I think that it was more, there was more bad energy coming out of it, you know. And so it's like I've gotten rid of a lot of that because it's just not necessary. What's the point of that? I mean, I'm going to die someday, and I'm useless at this point, so I might as well do something worthwhile.
Bob Hansen over here.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, do you have any admirations to do more, to maybe film yourself and try to put out tapes? And
I do, and my problem is that I bought a camera back in 2005 when I thought things were going to go great, and then I sucked for 8 years, and then I had to put that camera collected dust on my on my floor because I couldn't, every time I go up I didn't know if I was going to be the sucko or I was going to actually say something brilliant.
You know, when we first started, or when I started, we were at OBC originally, we used to film all those sets.
Yeah, we would film
and Teddy would make fun of us because after we would have this bad show, we would go back to one of our houses and watch ourselves.
Yeah, watch ourselves do badly.
But we would, we would be critical of each other.
It was worth it.
I mean, the last video that's been on the OBC page is of like Kendrick's. So that was like 5 years ago.
Yeah, that's a while.
But I remember that out of those sessions was where we learned, like, hey, don't play with the mic stand. Put the mic stand behind you.
Yeah.
Like that kind of stuff that we did in the class was because I used to watch videos of us and watch us fail and go, you know, all of us, we would just say, hey, man, that's these, really like, distracting the way you're doing this.
Mannerisms. Yeah, the mannerisms you're
doing. Right.
Yeah.
And actually, Travis, I mean, we'd watch it and go, hey, he just ripped that off. And
we watched a guy steal chips.
That was stolen. Like, no, you can't do that. And, you know, so.
Do you think something in you clicked? Because, like, people I've talked to, like, back then, you were like the man. You were like the best one.
Dick used to say that they would always come in to watch you perform when you were at the store back then.
Yeah, that's interesting because I had no idea that that was going on. And that's the thing is, I try to just go up and do different jokes every time because I was always being put at the back of the list. This is a horrible reference, but I would call myself, I was the Comedy Store's Rosa Parks. I was always on the back of the bus. But anyway, sorry, that's horrible. But anyway, but that end set of every Wednesday and Thursday was where I would go. Everybody, well, because, I guess it was because Matt Bragg was not real big on me. He didn't like, because I was also kind of like not necessarily clean. Okay. A lot of my jokes were a little more, you know.
You're like the Russell Brock.
I'm Mr. Shock. I was always like, I got to say something about the vagina or something. I don't know. I'm still doing it. It's not like it's ever gone away. It's just maybe I've tempered it better.
Still doing the
wacky talk about, like, I know anything about anything. I know nothing. But, the thing is that the Comedy Store back then, you know, when you go up at the end of the night, you don't have to care as much.
Right.
And so I would go up and have fun, I guess. But I lost that after a little bit. I had to have lost it right around 2008, 2009.
You can mark the time.
I
can
mark it. Started.
Right when joy died. Then. That's when it died. Oh, the joy has always been dead. Give me a break. But anyway, that's the best, you know, it's been so much damn fun. I don't care. I'm having a great time. And people would, you know, there's a lot of people that get into comedy and they have relationships. And then in their relationships, somebody says to them after a month of doing comedy, so where are you going with this comedy thing? Mm-hmm. And that's the worst thing you can do to somebody that's doing stand-up comedy because it's a freaking journey, man. It takes
a lottery ticket.
We don't know where we're going.
Yeah, yeah, we have no idea where we're going.
I hate that question when they go, when are you going to be
What are you going to do? It's like, you can't put that on yourself.
Right. Well, we're coming to the end.
Okay.
What's the worst show you've ever had?
No. Fourth and B here in San Diego.
Oh, boy.
I walked 1,000 people, and a pimp walked up to the stage, pointed his cane at me, and said, you suck. And he was right.
A pimp.
I sucked. It was like 2004-ish.
Actual
2003.
Pimp.
An actual pimp. He's a real pimp. He's wearing the costume anyway. He's like,
costume.
Did they see your material?
Well, it was
before?
A Stephen Kendrick and Jenna Adams and Mac Lindsay and me show, and I was opening for them, and I was doing this whole thing about a truck stop ass or something like that, because I, you know, meth hookers and how they should have a magazine and
you went
truck
on
stop
first?
Ass, you know,
and walked the whole crowd.
I walked the whole crowd.
you walked a thousand people before they went up?
We promoted the hell out of that show, too. My God, we were on San Diego State promoting that
Steven
show. How
did Steven think about you?
Oh, he was still trying to get me out of it. Because I went and hid in the green room at the end of the show. I was like, oh, my God, I'm never doing God in this album. What have I done with myself? He flew in some guy that writes for Letterman to talk to me about it. No, I don't think he flew somebody in, but this guy, Tom, can't think of his last name, but Tom's a decent older guy, and he was telling me, you know, I've done basically the same thing you just did, and he was probably exaggerating. He was probably just trying to make me feel better, but he was like, you just get over it, man.
How quickly did
you do comedy again after that?
I think I was pretty much right up on stage.
You went right back.
Yeah, I didn't care.
So you didn't take any money.
Yeah, I didn't take any.
Straight from 4th and B to Winston's, walking three people.
Yeah, walking three.
What's the best show you've ever had?
Right before that happened, like right before people, it's like, this is the best show.
I would say my birthday show where nobody attended. I actually had a great, I thought it was a great show. My dad was there, so that was a lot of fun.
Uh-huh.
So that was cool. Yeah. So that was awesome. So, but that wasn't the best show I've ever had. I would say the best show I ever had was probably Nut Street in Wilmington, North Carolina. That was a traveling, you know, like
that was when you guys were on that tour.
Yeah, we went that Nut Street. We went to Atlanta and stuff, and that was great. It was good. That was the time when I got to hear people elsewhere laugh at jokes.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's not just you're sitting in San Diego and people aren't going to laugh at your jokes maybe every time.
Right.
You go somewhere and people are like, wow, you're great. I love your jokes. And you're like, holy crap. I've been doing this comedy thing for something.
Feel like a real comedian.
Yeah, a real comedian. Point, you know? Yeah, I felt like a real comedian.
Yeah.
Okay.
When I did that.
So you go to another place, the joke works, and it gives you faith that, okay, I'm funny other places too. It's not just this.
In Houston too. It was like going to my hometown. Uh-huh. It's like great. So it's like it felt good going
nice
places.
Feeling.
Yeah, yeah. It
gets
really
you out of your comfort zone too, right?
Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
Wow.
We raced through that. I feel like we need four more segments with the Deans. We should bring you back so we can do this
part
again.
Two, Dean.
I feel like we barely
part
started.
Part two.
It's so much comedy.
It's got some stories.
Yeah, man.
17
yeah.
years. Are you on Twitter?
I am. I'm on Twitter. It's Drew Deans 1.
Drew Deans. And Facebook?
Yeah, Andrew Deans.
All right. You're listening to WSRadio.com, the worldwide leader.
Dr. Right.